Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Friday, August 23rd. In a follow-up to a story we had on the newscast yesterday, a new program aims to keep vital wildlife corridors in the state open. For the Colorado News Connection, Mark Richardson has more.
Increased development in Colorado is creating major obstacles to migration corridors for several native animal species, but a new state program aims to keep them open. Governor Jared Polis recently issued an executive order to preserve Colorado's historic migration corridors, requiring state agencies to coordinate with federal, state, and local governments, private landowners, and conservationists to protect wildlife. Brian Webster, a Grand Junction resident with backcountry hunters and anglers, says the state's development can be a threat to numerous animals, including bighorn sheep, mule deer, and even trout.
Colorado right now, we have subdivisions, roads, trails, energy fields, all sorts of things that are being developed throughout the Colorado landscape. A lot of that development is occurring near or on important wildlife habitat, such as migration corridors.
Members of several sports and recreation organizations met Wednesday in Idaho Springs to show support for the governor's order. Webster says the executive order balances out the economic interests in the state while preserving family hunting and fishing traditions for future generations. He says the executive order calls for a long-term effort to direct state agencies to explore scientific mapping, historic information, and partnerships that will streamline habitat protection efforts.
Healthy wildlife populations depend on healthy, highly functional habitat, and this executive order demonstrates a commitment to ensuring that we'll do what we can now to better understand what quality habitat looks like and how we can better protect it.
Webster says it allows agencies to incorporate planning, public education, and more efficient use of government resources in protecting wildlife.
These migration corridors take place across the landscape on state lands, on federally managed public lands, on private lands. Mule deer don't care whether it's Forest Service land or state land or private land.
He says hunting, fishing, and other wildlife-related recreation opportunities are a large part of the Colorado economy, generating a $5 billion economic impact on the state. For Colorado News Connection, I'm Mark Richardson.
And with more on that story, from Capital Coverage, here's Scott Franz.
Polis wants to conserve more of the areas that elk and other big game animals use to migrate. He's also promoting new wildlife crossings in northwest Colorado that have greatly reduced the number of collisions in recent years. His executive order will ensure that wildlife migration routes are taken into account when new roads are being built. Polis says drivers hit big game animals about 4,000 times each year in Colorado, resulting in about $80 million worth of damage. I'm Scott Franz.
And in more from the Colorado News Connection, today is the deadline for food banks to apply for a grant that also is a big boost to local farmers. Eric Galatis has the story.
Food pantries across Colorado are putting finishing touches on their second round grant applications before Friday's deadline and are already making plans for how to spend $100,000 that will be distributed in September through the state's Food Pantry Assistance Grant. Jacqueline Yelich, a volunteer manager of the Denver South High School Food Bank, has her eyes on the Western Slopes coming harvest.
The timing is great because farmers will have all this fresh produce. I'm looking forward to having really good, crisp, fresh apples for our students because they love apples.
The Colorado General Assembly approved the grant program last year and in the first round awarded $500,000 to food pantries to purchase fresh produce, protein, and dairy from Colorado producers. Yelich says the first round grant allowed her group and other members of the Colorado Food Pantry Network to connect with a host of friendly local farmers who welcomed the extra business. Denver South is home to immigrant students from more than 60 countries speaking as many different languages and a big part of Yelich's client base.
Then we also serve lots of students whose families work 2 and 3 jobs and have a difficult time making ends meet because it's so expensive to live in Denver.
Yelich says her clients noticed the difference in taste and nutrition between food shipped cross-country and local food picked just days ago. She says because food pantries rely on donations, the grant dollars ensured the school's diverse families could get fresh Colorado eggs and milk every week and chicken and beef every other week.
We work really hard to make sure that we always have culturally appropriate foods. We have basmati rice, we have masa, we have red lentils, we have green lentils, we have red beans, we have halal meat when we can get it.
More information about the Colorado Food Pantry Network is available online at foodpantrynetwork.org. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
In a follow-up to a story we've been following from the Rocky Mountain Community Radio Exchange, Governor Jared Polis is supporting calls for an independent investigation into the officer-involved shooting in Colorado Springs that resulted in the death of 19-year-old Devon Bailey. KRCC's Andrea Chalfin has more.
Polis is encouraging the district attorney's office to turn over the findings in the investigation to another local jurisdiction for review, as well as any additional information gathering needed. The governor says he thinks it's in the best interest of the residents of Colorado Springs.
I hope that El Paso County takes steps above and beyond those that are legally required to maximize the public trust in the objective investigation.
In response, Colorado Springs Mayor John Suthers issued a statement saying the governor appears politically motivated and that such a move would undermine the election process for those tasked with legal duties. Bailey was killed earlier this month when CSPD officers responded to an armed robbery call. The El Paso County Sheriff's Office completed its investigation last week. I'm Andrea Chalfin.
And finally today, from the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, a report from the Washington Post shows Delta County and other areas of western Colorado have warmed even faster than Gunnison County since the late 1800s. In fact, the temperature increases are some of the biggest in the country. Last week's story by the Washington Post and accompanying county-by-county data it compiled showing temperature trends since 1895 focused on the fact that climate change has been uneven across the United States, with some regions warming faster than others. The report included a national map, and among the notable red spots indicating particularly high rates of warming is western Colorado and eastern Utah. The Post reported that its data is based on federal weather databases, peer-reviewed scientific studies, and reports by local climatologists. In Colorado, a 2014 report released by the Western Water Assessment at the University of Colorado at Boulder and the Colorado Water Conservation Board showed Colorado's climate had warmed by about 2 degrees over the prior 3 decades. It said various models suggesting continued warming of 2.5 to 6.5 degrees by 2050, with the warming possibly resulting in decreased stream flows, even with a possible increase in midwinter snow. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Friday, August 23rd. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.